Morning, everybody. I am from New Mexico, and I probably can't try canola under dry land. It's quite risky there. Means we get about 17 inches of rainfall, but it is still unreliable, and that's why I'll be talking about irrigated canola here. Mike mentioned some of the collaborators in his talk. I have a number of people who helped me in this one. The top three are the postdocs or research specialists who worked on this, and remaining ones are the collaborators. It's basically a USDA NIFA alternate crops funding, and initially it was headed by Dr. Calvin Trossel, and now Mike is leading the project. Little bit why canola. I will introduce that aspect. I am from Clovis, New Mexico, eastern part of New Mexico, and on the western edge of Ogallala Aquifer. Okay, and if you look at the agriculture in this region is mostly irrigated. As I told, we get 17 inches of rainfall, but semi-arid region. So one example to quote here means when I started this job, first day when I reached there, it was September 1st, and it was raining, and I was very happy that it is not that dry. But the next rain we got was in July middle. So that is the distribution there. So what are the other situation? This is the beef cattle density in the Ogallala Aquifer. If you look at, here is again Clovis, and this has significant population of beef cattle. And if you look at the dairy cattle, it further increases. So you can see the density here. Means there is a kind of estimate that Amarillo is somewhere here. And if you draw a circle around Amarillo of 150 miles, 40% of U.S. cattle population is in that area. Okay, so our main goal there is to sustain this animal industry in that area. So what it means is major crop there is forage crops, mostly in our area it is forage corn for dairies or forage sorghum for dairies. This is the irrigation situation there. Here is Clovis, and this is approximately about 60 miles east into Ogallala Aquifer region, and probably 40-50 miles south. And each of those circles are a center pivot irrigation system. And if you look a little closer, this is what happening here. Means the wells that were supporting one pivot earlier, they are not able to support the entire pivot anymore. Means there are many cases where a farmer can only irrigate half of the pivot, or in some cases there are even less than half. That is the situation. Water levels are going down, and well yields are going down, and they cannot really sustain the entire circle of high water requiring crop like irrigated forage corn. So this created an opportunity for me, who is looking at alternate crops to bring to the area, and I can bring a crop that has some value for this large animal industry in the area. And if you look at a few people mentioned about canola meal for dairies, and that's exactly is the driving force for looking at canola in this area. In fact, in the last year or so, there are some crushers who are contract farming canola in this area, so that their main product is canola meal. Okay, the oil that they get, it's still a high value oil, but that is a secondary product for them. So that is the situation in there, and there is a good fit if we can get this canola growing. But we cannot spend a lot of water on this one. That's what the objective of this trial is, to develop a water use and yield relationship so that with minimum irrigation, how much we can produce in that area. And another situation here is with the new alternate energy drive, and also the state government is encouraging this alternate energy drive. So in Clovis, the Ares and Bluson together, they built a 15 million gallon biodiesel plant in 2008. And suddenly wheat prices went up, and it didn't even open. So my effort here is to study this canola and get more information so that farmers can adopt and start growing more of this. Recently, a California company bought this biodiesel company. Hopefully, it will open and we'll have some canola adopted in that region. With that, I will come to my trial. A little bit about what I did, the materials and methods. I used two canola varieties, the DK4110 and Raleigh. DK4110 is a herbicide tolerant, a little bit earlier maturing compared to Raleigh. And I also had a winter wheat, and Dr. Dickald is developing winter safflower for that region as a drought tolerant oilseed crop. And I wanted to look at this, its water use and yield relation, but I won't be talking about those two in this talk. Design, it's a split plot with four replication, and the treatments are 0, 25, 50, 7500, and 125% of winter wheat evapotranspiration. In Amarillo or in Bushland ARS, they have this Texas High Plains PET network, and using the climate data, they provide us with the ET values for most prominent crops, and canola is not there, so I am using winter wheat as a source for how much water I should apply. But still, I don't want to apply this 100% more than 15 inches. I'm limiting that one to 15 inches, and these are all less than 15 inches in proportion. And irrigation method, I used as designed a surface drip irrigation system with water meters. And again, the location is Clovis, New Mexico, only one location. And this is my surface irrigation system. And if you look, assume this as a one plot, and these are two canola varieties, and this is a wheat, and this is a safflower. And these are the subplots, and I have six irrigation plots, and each of those has a valve, so I can regulate which plot gets water. And there is a water meter sitting right here. And the system is set up in such a way that once I plant, tractor can be used for spraying and any operation that needs to be done. So nothing will break, or damage is minimum. And this is a picture of the trial in 2009. And this is the four plots I was showing. This is one variety of canola, and the second variety, wheat and safflower. And they were randomized completely within the main plot. With that, I'll just come to my results. This is the result of two varieties first year. And you can see that there is a gradual increase in yield with the irrigation levels. But our yield levels are quite low. Means Mike showed 3,000 plus yield levels. But in the first year, I'll show it why it happened. But our yield levels were quite low. And the two varieties, this is a longer duration variety, and the slopes were slightly different for both of them. And this is what happened first year. Means we had, usually we start warming up in in mid-March or early March, and then the winter canola starts regrowing. But what happened in 2009, we were quite warm in February. Means it was like outside today. Means the crop started growing, and by March 28th, we have everything was blooming. Then we had a blizzard with 1 foot snow and 2 days of heavy wind. All the top was killed. Basically, I thought I lost the trial. But in a month, it recovered, and this is what you see after a month. And I thought I'm lucky and I'm getting back everything. But what I didn't account there is the flowering moved by one month. That created some heat stress. And whatever the photosynthesis it produced here, I lost that one. So both of them affected the yield, and as a result, my yield levels were quite low. And this is my second year data, and it showed more normal yields, and the trend is more or less the same. So I think it can, I can grow a decent crop with 75 or 50% of irrigation amount that I am thinking of applying. And what about oil content? I thank Jim Davis and Dr. Brown for analyzing our oil samples. What I can interpret here is unless there is a severe stress, oil content was not affected that much, especially in Raleigh, and it's more or less same in DKW 4110. This year also, I got the results back from Jim, but due to some confusion, I couldn't get it decoded. And this year, with the full yield range, the oil content range has widened. So it will be interesting to check that one, what happens this year. And this is the oil yield per hectare. So it's again same trend, but the slope is a little bit steeper. And this is the 2010. I just used the average oil yield from the analysis to calculate this one, but I need to recalculate this with the actual oil content. Yeah, with this I will conclude my talk. Definitely canola has a place in our southern high plains. There are other limitations. People were talking about diseases, and what I got surprised was the insects. It's surprising. I worked in Canada and the insect is not that significant there, but when I moved to New Mexico, insect problem is very, very significant. And varieties, depending on the duration, they differ in their response to irrigation. And I feel that seed yield is the one that is more sensitive than the oil content. So probably we should target for the seed yield. And for us, flowering time is very critical. If we get the flowering earlier, then we have some good yield. If it is delayed a little bit, then we are in trouble. With that, I thank you for giving me this time.
Questions? Thanks. Hold on, Dr. Ngani, you got a question?
100% evapotranspiration. How many acre inches is that?
It varied with each year, and it is between 15 and 17 inches.
Between
15 and 17 inches.
Okay.
So I didn't want to go beyond 15, but yes.
Clarification, that's 15 and 17 inches of supplemental irrigation.
Yes.
On top of your rainfall.
Yes.